Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
You know, I don't think so. I honestly cannot recall ever actually trusting the government.
You know, I remember when I was young in like middle school, I remember thinking like the cops would come and they'd do like cop day where they'd bring all their toys out to the school and they'd like set up tables and the SWAT team would be there with their guns and all, you know, they actually flew the helicopter
but, like,
in.
Thinking that all of the cop stuff is cool is not the same as these people in government never do anything wrong.
Well, I don't think that I, at that young age, really had any assessment in my mind as to whether or not they did anything wrong or right. It just,
I don't think I ever trust it because, you know, like, I never really thought about government-y things until probably junior high, and then that was around the time of the Ruby Ridge incident and the Waco incident. And it's like, wait a second, they're killing people here.
I think I probably bought into the propaganda at the very least. And if you want to call that trusting them, I think you probably could. Weakened and distrusted, central governments around the world have been incapable of responding to the way the internet and social media have empowered populist but previously fringe groups. A unique worldwide survey of government communication chiefs has found. The survey spanning 40 countries is the first international review to reveal how deeply governments feel they're losing control and authority over communications. It shows that they have been collectively shaken by public distrust of governments and are struggling to keep pace with how modern voters gather information and form their opinions. The advent of fake news, the dissemination of knowingly inaccurate news, has only deepened the crisis. A study synthesizing the responses of more than 300 communication chiefs was undertaken by the advertising and strategy group WPP and steered by a global advisory board spanning Australia, Europe, Asia, and America, including leading academics and practitioners in communications, business, and the public sector. When people feel ignored, unheard, and represented, they turn to alternative sources of information. Now, it does say here that if governments don't communicate with citizens properly, they'll go somewhere else for the information, which, of course, you know, you shouldn't be getting your information from governments anyway, because, you know, even if they are communicating to you, they're probably lying to you. So,
yes.
You know, whatever information or press release the government, whichever government, it doesn't matter which one we're talking about here, you shouldn't trust it. So if you're looking for information, just consider whatever comes out of the government's mouth propaganda. Pure propaganda. So going on here, the study entitled Leaders Report, The Future of Government Communication, finds, quote, the internet has loosened government's historical and collective grip on trust. It has transformed the role of government as providers of information. Social media has created an echo chamber of information that can filter out opposing views and commentary.
And that's actually backed by, you know, a lot of, I don't want to say science, but there are a lot of studies that show that people sort of isolate themselves in bubbles on social media.
Ultimately, governments are going to have to lose their credibility and lose their legitimacy in order for people to truly leave the artifice of the state behind in the dustbin of history, which is what I would love to see happen, just in the same way that we've left chattel slavery behind in the dustbin of history. I think the idea of the state also needs to be kicked to the curb. But as long as people believe that electing the right person is going to change everything, then we're never going to fix this problem.
For instance, managing immigration, 81% said that is a major role for government. 28% said that they thought that the government was doing a good job.
Okay.
69% of respondents said that they thought that ensuring a basic income for those over the age of 65, that was a major role for government. 48% said they thought that the government was doing a good job. 47% thought that advancing space exploration was a major role for government. 51% thought that the government was doing a good job. So more people thought the government was doing a good job on space stuff than what thought that doing space stuff was a major role for government.
NASA is certainly one of the least offensive federal programs, along with the National Weather Service. Those two are probably, you know, two of the better ones, but even then they're outclassed by private enterprise like the XPRIZE and the space race kind of situation. And then also, of course, the variety of weather options out there.
I did mention this survey from not actually from the Washington Post, but they reported on it. They asked the question, when it comes to American democracy, which is closest to your view? I have lost faith. I have faith. I have never had faith. Or no response. How many respondents, or what percentage of respondents do you think answered, I have never had faith?
And this was done this last year?
Survey results were released October 7th.
American people who have never had faith in democracy.
In the American democracy.
20%.
Six.
Okay, wow.
How many have lost faith in the American democracy?
40%.
You are exactly correct.
Wow.
How many have faith?
Whatever the remainder is.
No, because there were some people that gave no answer.
Oh, okay. People that have faith, 50%.
52.
Okay.
And apparently it's not just the American democracy or trust of government that is declining.
Hold on, before you go on, I wonder if those numbers changed after the election at all.
Possibly. I don't know, because they also asked people, if your preferred presidential candidate ends up losing, will you accept the results as legitimate?
I see.
31% said yes, definitely. 39% said probably. 18% said it's unlikely. And 10% said definitely will not. So the numbers probably shifted a little bit, but right. I don't think it would be drastic. But for over 40 years, Gallup has measured levels of confidence in an array of institutions, such as media, organized religion, public schools, banks, unions, big business. Congress may regularly receive the lowest rating, as only 9% expressed a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in Congress in a recent survey, which was released in June. But most institutions within and outside of government are at or near historic lows, and yet the problem is even worse. Americans don't even trust each other.
A couple of interesting quotes here. I pulled up the executive summary of this this study that The Guardian was writing about here, and we've got a little bit more from The Guardian, but just to kind of insert a couple of quotes. I was looking to see if there would be any statistics in even the executive summary, and there's really nothing. So it seems like... Oh, here we go. Here's a little something. Only 40% of citizens trust their government, compromising the willingness of citizens and businesses to respond to public policies. This is under the section called What Are the Key Challenges Facing Government Communicators, which trust is this one here. Declining levels of trust in government have undermined the connection between those who are governed and those who govern them. Even in countries with the highest levels of trust, 1 in 4 citizens do not trust their government is doing the right thing. A communications leader in Africa says this, quote, "All over the world, the authority of government is being eroded. There is a sense that citizens are beginning to doubt whether government actually can make a difference in their lives." So when I read things like that from people working in the government, it just warms my heart.
It would be a little bit better if he said people are beginning to question whether or not governments are even needed.
That's kind of what he said. I mean, to some extent.
No, that's not what he said.
He says they're beginning to doubt whether government actually can make a difference in their lives. If they're not making a difference, then that suggests that they're not needed. Right?
No, because if you find the people that say, yeah, I don't think that the local government can affect my life at all. Okay, so you're ready to get rid of government, but who would build the roads?
Oh,
what
yeah.
about the schools?
Well, right. I mean, this is
the fact that, you know, this isn't going to make an impact on my life. People aren't looking at, oh, the road that is being privately funded could still be funded, or, you know, being built by a private company could still wind up being built without the local government. They just look, well, what are they doing specifically for me?
When I was a kid, there was a guy, he was a DARE officer, and I don't know if he wasn't a DARE officer maybe until I was in high school, but he was basically a guy who kind of hung out. His name was Jimmy Lynch, Palmer cop. Mm-hmm. Super nice guy. And he was definitely, you know, as a youngster, I definitely trusted that guy. But like, he knew my father, he knew my grandparents and stuff. He'd been around town for a while, but he was like one of them decent, like old school. You know, I remember one of the first times I got pulled over, I was horsing around, and he pulled me over, and he's like, "Hey, laddie, why don't you calm it on down a little bit so we see you next week when school starts?" You know, mm-hmm. I was like 17 years old, and he didn't ask me for a license or anything. He just was like, "Hey, chill out," you know. But he was one of them guys who was just cool. But then again, there's
not, you know, looking to make an arrest, to keep the peace.
Just like, and right before I retired, I was talking to him about like things, and you know, probably I think he retired about 7, 8, 10 years ago, and you know, he was like, "Well, I got a few more years dealing with this crap, and you know, I collect my retirement," and you know, he really wasn't happy with the way, you know, policing had become and the agenda of policing and the agenda of government, because mm-hmm. he was one of them old timers. He was a serve and protect kind of guy.
You guys catch the Cantwell Kokesh debate that happened Tuesday?
No, I tuned in just after it had ended. I mean, we'd finished up our show, and I happened to see it as I was uploading the video of our archive to YouTube. I happened to see that Cantwell was streaming it live on his channel, so I tuned in, and it was literally the very end. So I did watch them arm wrestle each other at the very end of it, and Adam Kokesh pretty soundly defeated Chris with both the right and left arms.
Yeah, so I realize with the time conflict, of course, you weren't able to catch it. But I do highly recommend you check it out. And I think that it was a really, really, really good debate. It was a fantastic conversation and two very different perspectives coming together. You know, two prominent perspectives within.
So what was the topic of the debate?
Love versus hate.
It was all over the place. I guess you could say, I mean, I think calling a position hate is kind of a straw man. I think that it was more of Cantwell. You know, Cantwell's like a libertarian brutalist, if you can even call him that. He takes nationalist.
Does he even call himself a libertarian anymore?
I don't think he, at least last I talked to him, I don't think he would use the term libertarian. I mean, he certainly still understands the concepts of libertarianism, but he seems to have gone in a more conservative direction.
My basic point, I would say, is that I make political decisions, as in who I'm going to vote for, based off of what is most conducive to a free society, right? Is that my end game is, you know, a free society where people can live without worrying about other people using violence against them preemptively. I would like if everyone would operate under the non-aggression principle. I would think that'd be best. And I think the best way to get there is to vote for politicians whose agendas are more conducive to that free society. And I do believe that you have to be pragmatic in how you vote for people. Your political moves should be pragmatic. And I do think that Donald Trump was by far, his agenda is the most conducive to a free society of the options. Would it have been nice to have Adam Kokesh as president? Sure. Would it have been nice to have, I mean, Gary Johnson, I don't even know if he would have been better than Donald Trump, to be honest. But this is the thing, is that, and I think that, libertarian candidates often distract libertarians who are usually relatively smart people and usually have pretty good stances on these things.
I got to place the story first. So I was on Facebook. Somebody was talking about weight loss and working out and all this stuff. And I said that I felt like my last and final hope for weight loss was a tapeworm. And obviously,
oh, God.
It's a joke. But
the salmon.
Because I have an inquisitive – what's that?
The salmon. Somebody posted about the salmon.
Is that what it was? Yeah. And I then began to research tapeworms for weight loss. So,
it works good for
not that
horses.
I necessarily intended to get a tapeworm, just that I was going to research them and find out. Turns out, Ian, that it is illegal to sell tapeworms for weight loss.
Okay, so you buy it for another reason, and then you use it for that reason, and then the person that sells it to you doesn't know that you're using it for weight loss.
Yes,
okay.
I understand.
I got to say, I don't know a whole lot about tapeworms. They grow, right? Like the more that they eat?
Yes.
Yes.
So at some point you'd have to extract it from?
Take large amounts of fiber and X-lax.
The fact is there is now a black market. Weight loss tapeworms. And you know why.
Can you get them on Tor?
You absolutely you can get them online.
Are they on Alphabay?
You just have to go.
Do they deliver it live, or do you get like a little tapeworm egg? How does that work?
I don't know the answer to that. I would presume it was tapeworm eggs. That would be my guess.
Nasty.
But you know, I just did a quick Google search, and turns out you can buy tapeworms, right?
People it's get like tapeworms all the time.
Terrifying. It's absolutely horrible.
You just can't say to somebody in America that I'm going to eat this tapeworm, right?
Yeah.
but people are doing this, and the reason they're doing it is because the government has created a black market. Now, if doctors could, you know, I don't know, deal in the proper – surely out of all the tapeworms there are.
Are you saying there's a medical reason to ingest a tapeworm? I don't think a doctor could possibly recommend that to somebody because they're not supposed to do harm
to
people.
Well, at one time, doctors recommended leeching.
Yes, but that's because they didn't know what they were doing. So at this point, we know what a tapeworm does, and that would harm the patient.
A tapeworm can help you lose weight if used properly.
I would say that there is no proper way to do something like this, and any doctor who would recommend something like that is completely improper in what he or she is doing. And a doctor that is sensible would recommend moderating one's intake of calories and some exercise. I think that's probably
the best
solution.
That's precisely what they do. Yeah. And a lot of people just don't find that as a solution, right? Like, I know
because
that
a lot of people don't have willpower.
They're lazy.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you also may not have a lot of time to listen to an entire episode of Free Talk Live. So you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month via Patreon, or send some Bitcoin or Ether instead. See the show description for details on how to do so.
It seems endemic in the community that there's this division where there's, I don't know the exact percent, but for me, too many libertarians seem to be like hoodwinked by Trump. And the notes I made were, you know, he's absolutely a politician. You know, everything about his public and business life seems to be calculated and manipulative, gaming the system, buying, bribing politicians and for his, you know, his business interest and betterment. I mean, he's admitted to these things. Everything he does is political. Every tweet, every button pressed in the his public life is super calculated. He may not have held office yet, but I would say he's a master Machiavellian operator and politician, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was agreeing with you.
I mean, the basic definition of politician is a person who is professionally involved in politics, especially as a holder of or a candidate for an elected office. I mean, you could argue that anybody running for office is by definition a politician.
I'm glad you did mention about, you know, Trump not necessarily being, you know, that good of a candidate and some people being hoodwinked. There were some polling numbers that came out, and apparently his polling is still absolutely horrible. Only 44% of voters have a positive opinion of Trump.
Why would that have changed?
Because it almost always changes once somebody gets elected.
In a better way? Meaning
it always goes up. Historically, it has always gone up. For Trump, it actually went down a couple of points. 49% have a negative opinion. That did go down a little bit because he had steadily been over 50% with a negative opinion. Hmm. So there are fewer people that have a negative opinion of him, but fewer people also have a positive opinion of him. And of people that voted for Trump, 14% don't have a favorable opinion of Donald Trump.
Greenspan was a straight-up puppet for the Federal Reserve. Brett Von Ott, his School Sucks podcast.
Great show.
So and he's another one. I recommend his show to a lot of people. And so I've been telling a lot of people about like the Trivium and stuff. And Brett does a really good show about that. And in the beginning, there's a whole thing with Alan Greenspan is basically interviewed by somebody who is literally has a, you know, and Alan Greenspan's admitting how he would purposely, you know, make answers up, and this is why he was like appointed for this job, that
because he's deceptive.
These profound answers that two different news media sources would interpret them answers the totally different way. So if anybody wants to listen to this, do School Sucks Podcast and just search Trivium, and it's the very first one. Brett talks about the Trivium, which is something that is awesome, especially if you have young children. School Sucks is a great resource, you know, if you're bringing up kids. But anyways, and in the beginning of that, it's just so funny, and I love how Brett, you know, he does such a good job putting his stuff together. But yeah, Greenspan's there. Yeah, that was my job. That's what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to make it so nobody knew what we were talking about.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.